Watching the Monkey.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to another episode of The Art of Being with the Act Matrix. Today, our special guest is Izzy Clark.
Hey, Izzy.
From good old the UK,
yep.
England. There's me, Kevin, one of your co-hosts. There's Phil.
Hey, Mike.
He'll speak up. And Phil is sort of filling the role of producer and Shameless Commerce Division.
That's right.
Spokesperson. So he will tell us about our sponsor.
Yes. So our sponsor, folks, is us. You're looking at it. Kevin and I and the ACT Matrix Certification Program, which we run. And what we're trying to do with the ACT Matrix certification program, well, first of all, is get people to do the ACT Matrix. So you come in, and the actual training for the ACT Matrix is free because we're trying to build a community of like-minded folks who are into doing generous work, helping those we serve get where they want to go in life. And, you know, the certification would be an added, gives you some authority, to, you know, some additional pride and gratitude. And all you have to do to get started would be to kind of just sign up on through the website, or if you're watching on YouTube, there's probably a link down below. And then we go through a series of meetings. And then when you're ready for certification, that's where we have a fee, which helps to run all of this stuff because this is not free. We have to pay for to bring this to you. And that's really it. And we're running a couple of specials right now. What are we doing right now, Kevin? What's our latest special?
I didn't know we were running two, but
well, we were running.
If you want to run two, that's fine.
Well, the one we really were running right now is the because of all the telehealth and telewellness going on right now, we're running a special where we bring you in and train you in how to do what we do, and then provide services via telehealth via the
ACT. And we've been doing this for years. All of you folks are showing up in our backyard, but we've been doing this for many years. So
finally
we're doing
arrived.
That.
Welcome.
Right. We're doing that. But and along with that, you get certification.
Yeah.
If you want it. If you don't want certification, that's fine too.
Okay.
But it's part of the cost of admission or part of what you got. So there you go.
All right.
And now we go to Izzy. And what are you going to talk about today, Izzy?
Well, I'm going to talk about the way in which my understanding of the ACT Matrix, because I did run through a series of webinars on the certification course and some of the masterclasses, and I've listened to your podcast and looked.
Have you done certification yet?
I never actually did the certification, but I. But
you
I
silly, you silly thing!
Yeah,
really. I know.
We'll talk to her after the podcast.
I love to say these words. She's certifiable.
Yeah, she is. We're all
in more ways than one.
Yeah.
So, how my understanding of that has helped me to reframe the way that I've been looking at this situation. And it started off, you know, I was already getting anxious about it and carrying around my little disinfectant and trying to keep.
Oh, I have mine.
Yeah.
It's my little security blanket.
And then on the 13th of March, all of my paid work was just cut off, and I'm freelance, and I fall away from all of the government help. So that, you know, that's a bit of a shock to the system. Then there's no structure to the day. And then the social distancing came in, and then lockdown came in here in the United Kingdom. So it's me, my two cats and my dog in a house on our own for I don't know how long. And that potentially could be very scary.
Mm-hmm. You have a dog?
Yeah, have a dog.
We haven't seen the dog yet.
We never met your dog. We met your cats. We haven't met your dog. This is Izzy's first rodeo with us. She's been on with us before, and we've met her Siamese cats that come around, but we haven't met her dog. We like pets. Pets. Anyway, bring your dog sometime. So anyway, you like other people have had quite the smash. Oh, Phil's got a great way of describing what we're all in.
Oh, yes. We're falling. Like I think the traditional, that's it, like that. Yeah. So it's more like a traditional Aikido. Aikido is a martial art where someone will attack you and then you redirect their energy. And there's throws where you actually will physically throw somebody. So you have to learn how to roll. So one of my, somebody I read online talked about it as falling in terms of we've been thrown. So now we're falling back and we're wondering where we're going to land. Yeah. And we're trying to learn land as softly as we can.
We're just falling.
We're just falling.
Right now.
Haven't landed yet. We're just falling.
So what we're coping with is the falling.
And that's what you're talking about, Izzy, is we're all just falling.
Yes, yes, exactly. And I thought, you know, I noticed in that bottom right-hand corner, you know, what mattered to me was, you know, my own health. And I've got friends and family who are very much within the vulnerable category. And of course, I can't see them. I have to keep away from them.
Yes.
But, you know, they obviously matter to me and it matters that I maintain contact with them. My animals matter to me. And aspects about, you know, kind of continuing to learn, continuing to keep as healthy as I can in terms of fitness, those things matter. So I thought, okay, well, I have those things there. I have those things that I know matter. And that's great.
Got
it. But then at the same time.
Phil, okay, everybody. Phil, if you're just on the podcast in your car, Phil is now holding up his I call it his Vanna White board.
That's it. Can I do this?
He's doing his thing. And in the lower right-hand quadrant of the matrix, we have friends, family, animals and health as Izzy's important stuff, which goes in the lower right-hand part. Okay. Now we're caught up, Izzy.
And more writing here, Phil, in the lower left.
lower left, this is yucky stuff.
There's sheer terror, anxiety, you know, the worry about money, the worry about my health, the worry about my friend's health, just a mess of, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
OMG, OMG.
Yeah.
Okay.
And loneliness.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's quite a relevant one.
Very true.
Yeah. Okay.
So there.
How's that looking?
Oh, very striking looking whiteboard matrix. So folks, if you're not familiar with the matrix, it's very simple. There's a vertical line and a horizontal line. And in the lower right, you put who and what's important to you. In the lower left, you put the yucky stuff that shows up in you, which, you know, terror, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Anxiety, worry. OMG. Oh, my
OMG.
God. And one other I can't see very well.
Loneliness. Yucky.
There's many others that people can put in, but that's what
Izzy has
put in there.
Yep.
So, okay.
Now, because of having done your courses, I'm very aware of when I'm just going into that upper left and doing drink wine as a solution. And
damn good solution, too.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a thumbs up on it.
That's fine. And the great thing is you can have a Zoom or a FaceTime with some other friends who are also, you might be able to hear my cat screaming in the background.
Oh, we have a cat. Yeah, here. Siamese talk. I like Siamese. Cat's
weighing in.
Yeah.
So you can FaceTime, have a drink and aperitif with your friends. And
oh, nice. Yeah.
I've seen those online. Right.
Yeah,
we've been doing that. And even tomorrow night, there's the most wonderful thing in the world. I'm a real theatre buff. And two of the theatres that I go to in London are streaming their productions. It's just like, this is heaven. So of mine, we're going to FaceTime each other while watching
the
production. So that the theater. Like we're in the theatre together.
Is this going to be a formal dress-up affair, or are you just going to go as is?
You know what? Yes. I think I will.
That's great.
So my forays into that upper left of doing sort of avoidance things haven't really been upper left, because they have actually been taking me towards the things.
Well, they're a little bit above.
They got we call them a twofer.
Twofers, right? Where you're doing some away, but you're also getting some towards.
Put them on both sides.
Yeah, put them on both sides. It's an escape. on the one hand, but it's a move toward who and what's important to you. Theater is important
to you.
Getting some
relief, and you're getting some satisfaction, and you're trying to figure it out for yourself.
Yeah. Yes.
And you're noticing that.
Yep.
Yeah. So I had to throw that in there.
Yeah, we can get there. Yeah.
Definitely. And I have it. It's the hardest thing I find personally to notice is when you get wrapped up in those, in the yucky stuff.
And the loops.
When you get wrapped up in the yucky stuff.
Oh, there's some loops for us, Phil. Yeah. Okay. Over on the left-hand side, folks, you can get into what's known as away loops.
Let's do the drink wine.
Izzy fed one of the top ones. You know, you get afraid and you drink wine. And the fear goes away, yeah, and then it comes back, and so you drink some more wine.
Yeah.
And then the fear comes back, so you drink some more wine.
And then you have to go to the shops to buy more wine.
Right, and you're just right. Then you get into your hand washing thing.
Yeah, right.
And then you got to go disinfect your body and stuff, and all your clothes and all that good stuff.
My hands, incidentally, you might not be able to. They are. See how they're falling.
Oh, we can see the red. You need lotion.
You're getting skin breakdown there.
You need lotion.
Yeah, yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
I have much lotion here.
I need more lotion. That's what I need to purchase more lotion.
Oh man, okay. I got lots of it here.
Lotion.
That's the best. So when I started realizing that I was doing twofers, I also thought, okay, I need to have some real taking me over into that upper right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, really? Okay.
One of the things that I did, I actually initiated it right at the beginning on the 13th of March when I lost my work, because I knew that I needed to have something in place. So yes. I decided, okay, I'm going to write a blog post every day, and I'm going to, the things that I'm interested in, like psychology and philosophy and the things that inspire me. And so kind of like a self-education project.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's been something that I've been meaning to do. I mean, I write notes all the time when I'm reading, but it's all just like disparate. So I thought, well, I can make this more organized, more of a commitment, more of a habit.
Formal practice kind of a thing.
Yeah, right? more of a formal practice. So I thought, okay, so that's good. And it would also take up some time.
Great.
And then, you know, initiating the, you know, having regular contact with friends and family, checking in with people, sending messages that, you know, of affection or a concern or things that made me laugh, or, you know, and a far wider group of people than I would normally be contacting.
Right.
All of a sudden you realize all these different people in your life that you see occasionally at work, but who do matter to you.
Yeah.
And taking that even further, I've then noticed when you go out on your daily walk, which we're allowed one, longer than an hour.
Who's counting?
And you can't drive to it. You have to walk from your house.
That's an interesting rule.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, because people were driving to beauty spots and then all the cars were
parked. Oh, yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, they're stretching that out a little bit, huh?
He's actually poured dye into one really beautiful lake. So
really
tempted to go and look at it. And they were putting up roadblocks outside the national park, apparently. So yeah, you're meant to walk from your house. And this, you know, and we are in England. We're inclined to be, you know, somewhat reserved. Mm. Not necessarily the most sort of like effusive.
You're talking to Brits?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
You got a
major reputation going with that.
Yeah, you got serious street cred when it comes to that.
Now you walk outside and you catch someone's eye, and it's like people are starved of that eye contact.
Yeah.
Where that place where you can feel, you can be 12 feet away, you can feel a connection with someone. Just by looking into their eyes, and people are doing it, and they're smiling, even the grumpiest looking people.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Little faces will crack into those smiles. And it's, how are you doing? Have a good day. Sometimes it's a conversation, a man telling me that he'd seen, oh, this is the thing I look forward to most. I saw, he's got binoculars, greater spotted woodpecker and grey wagtails. And immediately I came home and I looked at the pictures.
Yeah.
Kind of sharing in his enthusiasm about things, and so that feels just like, it feels like every time you make contact with someone and have that little smile, that little exchange, it's like, I mean, I'm not a religious person, but it's kind of like a little blessing like a little namaste.
I understand.
Of, namaste.
Well. I understand. Yeah.
Cool.
The human connection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So people notice and appreciate the connections more.
And the gratefulness of being able to just get outside and notice nature and be inspired by it a little bit, right? By each other. And you mentioned something too, the idea that where they normally, and at least in my neck of the woods, people would be walking down the street and kind of oblivious to each other.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually seeking out the eye contact now. We're looking for it. As I walk down the street, I'm looking.
Well, more than 6 feet away.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, always. Seven, I have a 7 foot rule. I've gone a foot past six.
Well, I have a dog who doesn't like being on the lead, especially when other dogs are on the lead. So he kind of enforces like a 12 foot rule, to be honest.
Perfect.
Even better.
when I was walking yesterday, it was a beautiful sunny day, really, really lovely. And I came across a family. And there was, you know, a father, and there were either four or five kids between sort of, I would say between 5 and 14. And so this guy who's, you know, this big bearded guy, who, you know, he's on his bike and two of his kids were with him on that side of the track with, you know, on their bikes. And he said, come on, kids, remember the distancing. And
Well, good for him.
Good.
Oh, I know. It was just fantastic. And
yeah.
He stood there and waited for me to go past. And I said to him, oh, you've got a big brood there. And he said with the biggest smile in the world, I've said, if we can get through this as a family, we can get through anything.
There you go. That's it. That's
very
the spirit.
So. Yeah, it is the spirit. Oh, it's cool.
It is. And I walked past a pub where in the windows of the pub, obviously, all the pubs are closed.
Mm. They're closed, right.
But children were painting rainbows. I don't know if they've done that in America.
Nice. So
they had the children's paintings of rainbows and, you know, and quotes, inspiring quotes like from Maya Angelou or whatever. Posted up in their window. And it was just like you looked at that and you thought, you just felt just great. People are sort of like giving out a sense of caring or love in a way that you know isn't really our big thing.
We're learning how to do it.
That is cool. That is very cool.
Nice.
It is nice. So this is coping through walking so far.
Coping through walking. And Before, I volunteer on a podcast, which I interviewed you for, actually.
Yes.
Oh, I remember that.
Van Nuys, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I write a blog post for them for David every month. And when this started, I said to him, oh, you know, we should have some, you know, some psychologists on, you know, some new guests that he hadn't spoken to before to talk specifically about this, you know, coping mechanisms. And so I kind of like this, a Stoic, a Franciscan, a Buddhist, and an existentialist.
This is the start of a joke, right?
It's a joke in a bar.
But the,
and they're, they're all, into, and they all at a bar.
And you know, so it was kind of cool, sort of like getting these different people's perspective, and they were so generous in giving up their time to, you know, at very short notice.
Yeah, nice.
But the priest, he had written earlier in the month. I think he wrote it in sort of around the same time that my work ended in the middle of March. He wrote a poem called Lockdown, and that poem had already been sort of like shared between a lot of church communities. And I found the priest. He's a priest friar who lives and works in Ireland. He's a Franciscan, and so obviously he's, you know, very concerned about nature as well as
Franciscans are cool.
Yeah, super cool.
Yep.
And he was kind enough to do a Zoom interview, and he read his poem Lockdown. And that's had more shares on the channel than sort of anything else. And it's, you know, he's Irish with a soft Irish accent, and it's a really beautiful poem. I could maybe read it to you if you liked.
Sure.
And if you want to.
Yeah, please do.
This is your podcast. Yeah. We don't.
Well, I think your listeners might like it. I will just.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Go for it.
I'm trying to find it because it's pulling down. Just hey Kevin, just fill in the gap while I'm searching.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I'm supposed to do something. This is about poetry. I could talk about I could talk about poetry, but I'm not the right guy to talk.
Well, you know, I just thought of something as you were talking about people making contact. One of my friends posted something on their Facebook feed about their next door neighbor who's elderly.
Yeah.
And what they worked out was every day she puts a different colored paper in her window. So green means she's good to go. Yellow means, I might need some help in here. And red means you better call somebody.
Oh, wow.
How about that? So every day they get up and they look across and they see what the color of the paper is.
Oh, that's very cool.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
And that's her way of keeping in touch with her elderly neighbor because they can't physically connect. And also for the neighbor, too. It's giving her something to do.
Oh.
Did you find your poem?
No. Is it here?
I don't know.
We would love to help you. I copied it on
my blog, and now I can't find where I put it on my blog. So that's really.
We could all look it up. We could Google it while you're doing that and see who gets to it first. Could. Well, let's see. What's his name?
Yeah, we're gonna.
I'm serious. I'm gonna go for it.
His name is Richard Hendrick.
There you go, Phil. It'll come up quick.
Richard, H-E-N.
I should have thought about this before, but I just didn't.
Richard Hendrick, right?
Yeah.
All right.
It's actually on his, blog anyway.
Oh, okay. Richard Hendrick blog.
Yeah.
Franciscan, right? Because I got some.
Brother Richard's Mindful Musings. Here we go.
Oh, there we go.
I should have looked on his blog rather than my blog, and that would have been so much quicker. Or at least it would have been if it was there. 2020. Here we go. I can do it.
I figured you would.
We had faith.
Thank you.
Just like Father Henrik.
So, lockdown. Yes, there is fear. Yes, there is isolation. Yes, there is panic buying. Yes, there is sickness. Yes, there is even death. But they say that in Wuhan, after so many years of noise, you can hear the birds again. They say that after just a few weeks of quiet, the sky is no longer thick with fumes, but blue and grey and clear. They say that in the streets of Assisi, people are singing to each other across the empty squares, keeping their windows open so that those who are alone may hear the sounds of family around them. They say that a hotel in the west of Ireland is offering free meals and delivery to the housebound. Today, a young woman I know is busy spreading flyers with her number through the neighbourhood so that the elders may have someone to call on. Today, churches, synagogues, mosques, and temples are preparing to welcome and shelter the homeless, the sick, the weary. All over the world, people are slowing down and reflecting. All over the world, people are looking at their neighbours in a new way. All over the world, people are waking up to a new reality, to how big we really are, to how little control we have, to what really matters. To love. So we pray and remember that, yes, there is fear, but there does not have to be hate. Yes, there is isolation, but there does not have to be loneliness. Yes, there is panic buying, but there does not have to be meanness. Yes, there is sickness, but there does not have to be disease of the soul. Yes, there is even death, but there can always be a rebirth of love. Wake to the choices you make as to how to live now. Today, breathe. Listen, behind the factory noises of your panic, The birds are singing again. The sky is clearing. Spring is coming, and we are always encompassed by love. Open the windows of your soul, and though you may not be able to touch across the empty square, sing.
Cool.
Very nice. Very nice.
So yeah. Part of your coping is reading poetry.
Right.
Yes, it is actually. Yes, it is. Today I was reading John Donne.
John
Donne. I've heard of him.
A blast from the past.
I know.
I learned that when I was in university.
My own British lit days. Okay, John Donne's important to you. I'm going to put him down here.
John Donne is important, and Andrew Marvell. I love the metaphysical poets. Gerard Manley Hopkins, who is an Irish Jesuit poet. I don't know if you know him. He wrote
don't know him.
Poetry.
My favorite was William Blake. I was a big Blake guy back in the day.
Garden of Love. I was reading that recently.
Yeah. Oh, see that? There you go.
I'm helping one of my friends whose daughters is meant to be studying for English literature at the sort of like 17 to 18 year range. And because it was my degree, I'm also able to offer a little bit of help and support and encouragement in that.
Cool. Sort of so doing school. Some mentoring and some tutoring then too. Nice.
You guys are all over me. I haven't read much poetry. I'm in the sort of your Mark Twain, Will Rogers, homespun humor kind of guy. Oh, well, to each his own.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think, you know, the big thing for me has been that just because we're shut down in so many ways, we don't have to close our hearts to connection, and we don't have to close our minds to inspiration and creativity.
Yeah.
There is still freedom. There is still all this freedom, and it's in a kind of like existentialist way, I suppose. But you know, whatever the contingencies and the limitations, we can choose what we focus on.
Yep.
We can choose what we think about and what we read and what we say to others and do with others, and those things can be positive and beneficial and maintaining connection and generate something better.
Yeah. Perfect.
Love it. That's great.
But and a cat likes it too.
Yeah. Well, no, he wants more freedom because he wants to go into my cupboard. But the last time he went in there, I don't know if you want to hear this, too much information.
It's up to you. What the heck? Suitcase. We all have our stories we could tell about what's been happening in the house.
Not me.
You're not me either.
That's my dad who I had suggested.
Oh, yeah. We'll get off here so you can talk to your dad.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Oh, what are you going to call this, Izzy?
Oh, freedom in lockdown. Or liberty. Right. Or liberty. Liberation in lockdown, maybe.
Liberation in lockdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. It's good.
I got it. And I will post it.
And apologies for my delay in finding the poem. I hadn't expected that I was going to be reading.
No, that was fine.
We're not.
That's the way these things roll, Izzy. We're very laid back.
Right. No. We're home.
That was great. It was worth. It was worth waiting for. Let's put it.
Yeah, exactly. We don't operate that way.
Yeah.
We really don't. So, no, but it was great. Yeah. It really was.
Good.
And it's weird.
Catch up with you too.
As part of the fall, as part of all of our falling.
Yeah.
And so we will, we'll sign off the podcast. You don't have to go anywhere, Izzy, but we'll say this is the end of the podcast. And stay tuned for more. Phil and I have lots of stuff planned.
Oh, yeah. We're cooking it up. Be safe, be healthy, be well.
It was managed to pause it. There we go.